Thank you, man. One verse today to get started, Psalm 119:97. Oh, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day. That is the text, Psalm 119:97, if you didn't hear that. And we're not going to really look at that particular verse in any kind of depth. It's a topical message today. And the topic is scripture memory. I think I mentioned that a week ago that I would probably be speaking on that today. Now, I have one caution, and that is, I know that anytime you preach on certain subjects, like prayer, and like this one, you're going to, no doubt, have universal conviction from those that really want to serve the Lord, want to do right, want to walk with Him, and all of that. So I recognize that, and I'm not trying to put anybody on a guilt trip today. The second caution is this. I think most people that know me well know that I'm just an ordinary guy. There's no super Marriott that leads Maranatha at all. We have a team that leads Maranatha. I pastored for 30-plus years, and during that particular time, before I ever got to the pastorate, scripture memory has been a part of my life. Okay, it really has. I have never spoken directly on scripture memory. Well, I haven't until, I didn't until the last day of 2017. My son asked me if I would address that subject at his church, Lakewood Baptist Church, and so I did that. And he has two services, one in the morning and early 8 o'clock, and then one about 11 o'clock or whatever it is, 10:15 to 11. And so I've spoken twice. I did it twice for his church. But other than that, all I've done is encourage it during my ministry, encouraging it by, you know, example, and encouraging it by using the scripture and quoting it. But I've never really attempted to have a message like this. And the reason is, I guess as I look back at it, is that I've always attempted not to try to be showy with it. And when I came to Maranatha, I purposed that young people, I'm going to use it more because young people need to know what has made a difference in my life and what can make a difference in their life. And so please don't misunderstand today and anything we've presented and how we're presenting it. It's not about me. It's about the Lord and about what the Lord can do for you. In your life, if you'll commit yourself to regular practice of scripture memorization and meditation. So, this is probably not going to be the most profound message that you will hear or have heard during this semester or even this year, or maybe ever, but it just could be the most profitable sermon for somebody sitting here today that you've ever heard. It really could. It could be a life changer. And I believe that there's somebody here that God's going to really work in your life to cause you to move in that direction, commit yourself to really memorizing and meditating on God's Word. It's going to transform your personal life. It's going to keep you from sin. It's going to open up your understanding to the Christian life in ways that you hadn't anticipated. It's going to enable you to do ministry in a way that you didn't think that you could do. And I believe that that's all packed in here in some way. My hunger for God's Word began when I first got saved. I wanted to be discipled. I asked my pastor, what should I do? He said, read the New Testament. And I'm not exaggerating, but within that week, I was back to him saying, now what do I do? And he looked at me with some astonishment. After being a pastor for many years, I can kind of relate to what he was experiencing. And he said, well, read the Old Testament. And so I read it. It took a little longer, of course, to do that. And I got back to him, and I said, now what do I do? And he looked at me again. He didn't know what to say. And he said, well, do it again, okay? And so I did it again. I began to consciously read. I had the Bible with me everywhere I went. When I first got saved, I asked for my Christmas present from my parents. I moved home, and I said, would you get me a Bible that I could keep in my pocket and have with me all the time so that I can open it up and read it on breaks at work. I can, wherever I'm at, I would have the Bible with me, and I got that. Still have that Bible somewhere. But I used it and I used it and I used it. And so I had a hunger from the very beginning, as many of you probably had and have even today. In the early days of my ministry, an evangelist came that you would have no idea who it is, but he was saved out of Hollywood, and he came to our little church, and he was quoting Scripture over and over again in his messages, and I'm thinking, wow, he's got that in his mind. He's got that. He's just doing that. I could do that. And so I tried to do it. I made up some cards with some verses on it, and I know I'm riding around the church on a on the mower there, I can remember where I was doing this, trying to memorize these verses, okay? And I wasn't very successful with all of that and kind of gave up. Came to Maranatha, there was an evangelist that came, and he quoted long trails of Scripture topically. And I thought to myself, wow, I need to get involved in doing that. So started making up some topics and memorizing them. And that's where I began my first year here at Maranatha, memorizing Scripture, and I added to that and added to that. Also, in my early days, I heard a Bible teacher by the name of Franklin Logsdon. I'll give his name. And he was a guy that was already of advanced age, but I heard him speak at Colonial Hills Baptist Church in Atlanta, and Dr. Love remembers him, and you will agree with me that the guy had the word, and he could quote long passages of Old Testament Scripture freely. And I thought, wow, and he was just an engaging teacher because he was saturated by God's word. And so again, I was motivated and moved that I wanted to be like these men that knew God's word. Now, understand, my motivation at that point was not necessarily all personal life. That should be the primary motivation, but I wanted to be able to minister God's word with power and effectiveness as I saw these men doing that. When I first came to Maranatha, my mind was lazy and out of shape from disuse and misuse. And dating a young lady sitting right here, who's my wife. We would study together. And we had some classes together, and she was able to study and take those notes and put them in her mind. And you ladies are saying, well, she's just a whole lot more intelligent than he is anyway. We know that. And we all know that, but I was way, way behind, okay? And I know that she must have thought this guy is really dumb, okay? He can't remember a list like she can, and I just wasn't used to that. And my mind wasn't working that way, and I had to work harder and harder. But when I began memorizing, it was like 30 minutes a day, an hour a day, and by the time I was out of Maranatha, it was like 2 hours plus a day spending time in just memorizing and meditating and following up on the verses. This morning, for instance, I was in between 100 and 200 verses, I know, and I didn't count them, obviously, but that's just been a regular practice. There's been spots in my life when I haven't kept up, but for the most time, it's been a regular practice of memorization and review. The more I did that in the early days of Maranatha, and the more time I gave to that, remarkably, the better I did in my classes. I mean, my grades got better. It wasn't a matter of it was taking time away from study. It was helping me to do a better job when I did study, and I was retaining things better. My mind was being restored, literally, by the process of putting God's word in my mind. So that's a little introduction, and I know I'm supposed to push one of these buttons. Let's see what happens here. Wrong one. There we go. The one that's worn out is obviously it, but what is wrong? Are you seeing anything? I'm not either. Okay, if we are to have the Word of God dwelling richly in us, giving us wisdom to teach and admonish one another, then we have to commit it to memory. To dwell in us is the idea. If we're to cleave to the Lord with purpose of heart, and that's what we're supposed to be doing according to Acts chapter 11, verse 23, that's the exhortation, then how are we going to do that? How are we going to know what purpose is, what we're going to be doing, and how we're supposed to be obeying? And then if we're praying, teach me thy way, O Lord, how are we going to know the way? How's God going to communicate that to us unless it's through the Word of God. Studying it, yes, but having it readily available for those answered prayers and those decisions is what we're talking about. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it, is the idea. Jeremiah said, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. You notice, eat them, eat them and digest them and make them part of your life is the idea that I see here. Now, why don't we memorize? Why don't we do it? Well, I think one of the reasons that this generation doesn't is because we have so many different ways to access the Bible. We have various copies of the Bible. When I was a youth pastor and actually doing youth evangelism at one point, I had a competition one night, and I said, we're going to give points to this team and that team, and how many Bibles can you bring? And we stacked them up, you know, on the platform, this team and that team. And then my message was, well, why aren't you reading it? Ooh, yeah. And that was effective back in that day anyway, at least I thought it was. But you have it, and you can carry it with you, and you can access it. So we don't have to memorize it. You take the same approach as McDonald's takes, okay? You don't have to really know how to count change because we have a computer. Okay, that's fine until, what, the electric goes off, then we have to shut the place down. We're out of business. And so it doesn't solve all of the problems, does it? I think we're missing some great advantage that God wants us to have when we rely upon a printed copy only, an electronic copy only, and we do not have that word where we can lay in bed with the lights off, okay, and meditate day and night, as the scripture says, on God's word. I think that in education in general, many have imbibed the idea that rote memory is a bad thing. You know, I've been involved in those debates back and forth. Well, you know, that's just rote memory. We want to teach people how to think. Well, let me tell you something. We want to do both. Okay, we want to teach people certain things that they ought to store in their mind so that they, when the time comes to make decisions, they can think better, okay? They can make the decisions. When I go to a doctor, I don't want him to have to access every bit of information on the internet. I get really uncomfortable if I go in there and I tell him my symptoms and he's there checking the internet for every little thing. There are certain things that he better have in his mind already. I go to a lawyer. I don't want him to have to go to the law books for everything to know court procedure. He should already know that and should have that pretty much down. He should already know much of the law. It should be in his mind if he's going to serve me. You know, that's true of every discipline. In mathematics, I feel for the student that was never encouraged or, you know, told that they have to memorize their multiplication tables. How many of you had to memorize your multiplication tables? Raise your hand, be honest, okay? Okay, put your hands down. I'm not going to ask you how many of you hated it, but I remember my father made a chart for the multiplication tables. You know, he put 1 to 12 here and 1 to 12 there, and made me fill in the chart, and then he drilled me over and over again on my multiplication tables. He says, you can't move on in math. You can't do math successfully until you've got these tools, until you've got this tool in your mind. And he's so right. And many things are like that. You're taking a language. There are declensions and conjugations that you have to deal with. And if you just kind of don't deal with them at all, you're never going to be able to master the language. You've got to memorize vocabulary. You've got to be familiar with that. And should we do less? You say, well, I just can't memorize. You know, some of you say you can't memorize. You'll be the very ones that will be sitting at lunch today quoting all of the statistics of your favorite team of whatever sport it happens to be. You know, if it's baseball, you'll know all the batting averages and the records. If it's the teams in the Super Bowl, if your team's there, man, you know it all. You know their record. You know the passing percentages. You know all that. And you probably know some things you shouldn't know, like over and unders and all that. If you don't know what I'm talking about, good. All right. And so... I had, not to name anybody, but I had one of our professors, esteemed professor, say something about the over and under, and I said, wow,
you know, you must have a background that I don't know about, okay? And so having said all that, you will know all of that if you stock your mind well. And should we not stock our minds, if we're wanting to do great things for God, strategically prepared and stocked minds is what God would use, I believe, in any area. Those who minister the word must treasure its value and master its content. And we don't memorize because we don't see the value of it, but the value is great. The names and order of the books of the Bible, you know that? That's where you begin. Do you know the days of the week? Oh, good, you know the days of the week. Do you know how many days are in a month? You know, 30 days have September, April, June, and November. All the rest have 31, and you know, except February, which is 28. Leap year makes it 29. You ever use that? I use that all the time. I was taught that when I was young. Memorize that. It's a key to learning. And so I believe that everybody can memorize. I really do. No matter what age you are today, no matter what your IQ is, your academic standing, or anything like that, I believe that you can memorize, and I believe that God would have you to do it. In fact, memorization is commanded in the Bible. It's commanded for Israel. I command thee this day, and they shall be in thine heart. What? These words, the words of the Bible. Deuteronomy 11 and verse 18 also. Therefore, ye shall lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul. Do you notice it says lay up? That sounds like protect. That sounds like put it in a place where you can access it. That's why it says lay it up for yourselves, treasures on earth. We're talking about laying it up. We're talking about protecting it and having it in a place where we treasure it. It's commanded by example as well. And we know that the psalmist memorized with purpose. It says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. That was the purpose. We read about Mary, and she quoted the scripture freely in the Magnificat, as it's called. We read that she quoted over and over again, probably quoted like Hannah did, and used the same quotes. We have a quote here from one of the New Testament writers, commentator, all pious Israelites from their childhood days knew by heart songs from the Old Testament and often sang them in home circle and at celebrations. Mary was steeped in the political literature of her nation. She had it by heart. She was able to recite it back. How about Jonah? You know, he couldn't access his scroll app, you know, when he was in the belly of the great fish. He had no access there. But what he did have access to was what was already stored in his mind. And he knew that the waters were God's waves and billows. Psalm 42 and verse 7. He looked toward God's holy temple. Psalm 138 and verse 2. And finally he cried, salvation is of the Lord. Psalm 3:8. And so he was able to quote the scripture at that time when he was in trouble. He was away from God, and it was scripture embedded in his heart that it appears like God used to bring him back to a place of service. The Lord quoted scripture when he was tempted, and we know three times he quoted from the book of Deuteronomy over and over again. And he had deep insight in his humanity to the Word of God. When you memorize, you start seeing things that you wouldn't ordinarily see just by reading. It becomes a part of you. You remember when he's dealing with this matter of the resurrection, and he uses the tense of a verb, I am instead of I was, to prove the resurrection from the dead. I am the God of Abraham, and I am the God of Isaac, and I am the God of Jacob. You say, God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And not one person here, none of us, would have ever thought of using that verse to prove the resurrection. But Jesus did, because the word was in his heart. Remember, he was 100% human as well as 100% God. It's commanded if we're going to meditate. Joshua 1:8 tells us that this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do. There again is the purpose. Have it there that you might do it. You don't have to consult the Bible to figure it out. It's already there. And you reflexively say, I know what God wants me to do, and I do it. Again, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Look at the Proverbs 7, 1 to 3. My son, keep my words. That's another time of protecting it, okay? And lay up my commandments with thee. Lay it up. Keep them. Lay them up. Write them upon the table of thine heart. That's where you do it. That's where you keep them. That's where you lay them up. You put them on the table of your heart. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Every true believer should love God's word. If you do not love the word of God today, you're either lost and you're a natural man, you receive not the things of the Spirit of God, or you're not walking with God, you're out of fellowship with him, and you're sick spiritually. Oh. That's blunt. Yeah, but that's true. That's what's keeping you from the Bible. No question about that in my mind. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, John says. Here's the apostles. You love what the writers of the New Testament have written. You hear them. You want to hear them. And so, memorization has many benefits, okay? It's a means to increase our faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You want more faith? More word. More faith, more word. More word, more faith. Okay? It works both ways. And so it renews your mind with God's viewpoint. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. It causes us to grow in grace. It's one of the agents that God uses. It helps us to change, to become conformed to his image, no doubt. Renews our mind. It helps us to pray intelligently as well. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. He said, why aren't you getting answers to prayer? Maybe you're not praying correctly. Maybe you're not praying according to God's will, as it says in another context. But his words are not in you, not abiding in you. And so you're not praying the right prayers. Reading and memorizing prayers that are in the Bible, they teach us and remind us how we should pray as well. One of my favorite prayers is the prayer of Hezekiah. Now, it's a favorite. I think it should be a favorite of many, because God tells the story about Sennacherib besieging Jerusalem. He tells the story three times. And in fact, when it's repeated in Isaiah, it's exactly the same as it's found in 2 Chronicles, and we find it in 2 Kings actually there as well. It's related to, but parallel chapters, exact wording you'll find. And so he's letting us know several times, this is kind of important. And so what was happening there? Well, the city was being besieged, and Sennacherib sent his men to really get everybody afraid, telling what was going to happen to them. And then they actually put it down in writing. And it says that when Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers, and he read it, and he went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims, thou art God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. For thou hast made heaven and earth. Incline thine ear, O Lord, and hear. And open thine eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear all the words of Sennacherib, which has sent to reproach the living God. That's how he began his prayer. He's talking about, God, it's your name, it's your glory that we're about here. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their countries, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore have they destroyed them. Wow. But God can do great things. And did he do great things? He most certainly did. Now therefore, O Lord our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only. And God answered the prayer. He answers this way, therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria. He shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shields, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same that shall he return, and he shall not come into this city. For I will defend this city to save it, for my sake and for my servant David's sake. Then the angel of the Lord went forth and slew in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000, and when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. Now, there's a little humor in that, because I've never seen a corpse that wasn't dead. 185,000 of them laying on the field dead, and they didn't have to fire a shot, but God's name was honored and glorified. Now, listen, that's just a prayer of the Bible, but you get a hold of that and you start applying that to yourself about what God is going to do for his name. It's not about me, Lord. It's about you. It's about your promises. That's effective. What about Paul's prayers, Ephesians 3, Colossians 1? What about the Lord's prayer, the pattern prayer? Learn them. How about benedictions? You know, learn those benedictions that are found in the Bible. There's some great ones. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. In believing. Where are you going to get hope? It's through believing. Oh, really? What are you going to believe? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know why some of you are walking around down in the mouth? Because you're snacking on God's word and you're not feasting on it. Because you're not committed to it. You're just kind of a little bit here. What's my obligation for class? What do I have to read? Get it done that way. But the personal time, you're not engaged with God. And so there's no peace and there's no joy. There's no believing and trusting him. But Bible memory helps you to pray scripturally. It really does. And you won't be praying and saying stupid things if you got the Bible there, by the way. It helps you refute error. I could go through that. You know, I can listen to somebody speaking and the bells of warning go off many times. And I can be reading in a commentary or reading in a book and say, no, wait a minute. And it's because I've got this piece and that piece and this piece. And systematic theology has been built by the Word of God in my heart. And I can look at references. And rather than having to look up every one of them, I already know what many of those references say. That allows me to get through material much more quickly than I could maybe in earlier days. But Bible memory gives me strength, the strength of the Holy Spirit in counseling and witnessing and teaching and preaching, because it's resonant there. It's a lamp unto my feet and it's a light unto my path, and I can share that light freely with others. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Isaiah 8:20. We need light. We need it from God. The process of Bible memory keeps us, now listen carefully, into closer contact with the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, sometimes people react to that statement, oh, wait a minute, we've got all the Holy Spirit. Now, wait a minute, I agree with that. But are you going to sit there and tell me that everybody is in as close a fellowship as everybody else in their relationship to God today, in the fellowship of God's Holy Spirit? I don't think you could say that. We know that's not true. And so what does bring us into contact, and how does that work? Well, we're brought into closer contact and fellowship with the blessings of the Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit works in our heart when the Word of God is resonant as well. Now listen carefully, I'm trying to get this out. But the anointing, John writes, which you have received of him abideth in you, speaking of God's Holy Spirit. And ye need not that any man teach you, but the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. Even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. What's that anointing? Well, we know we do need teachers, but ultimately there's only one teacher that matters, and that's the teaching of God's Holy Spirit, who takes the word. And sometimes teachers can direct us and help us, and they're gifts to the church in that way. God has established it that way. But ultimately, all the teachers in the world cannot help you if God's Holy Spirit is not teaching you at the same time, right? And he says he's going to be present. Now, we're born again of God's Spirit. We're born again of the Spirit of God. John 3 and 1 Peter chapter 1. Both, they work together. God's Spirit takes the Word. And that brings us then to a place where we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. The filling of the Holy Spirit is found in Ephesians chapter 5 and Colossians chapter 3. One talks about the Holy Spirit. The other talks about letting the Word dwell on us richly in all wisdom. And you find that the results are the same in both cases. They work together. They work in tandem. And in fact, when we witness, it's we are witnessing, but it's God's Holy Spirit that is witnessing. It's a great verse. In Acts chapter 5, verse 32, and we are his witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost. I got saved, and I started witnessing, and I noticed that people got nervous. They never got nervous when I talked about the Bengals. Well, nobody gets nervous when you talk about the Bengals. I forgot about that. But they never got nervous about those things, okay? But they did get nervous when you started talking to them about God and about the relationship with him. Why is that? Because the Word is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged swords. Why is it alive? Well, all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Why? Because it's God's Holy Spirit that brings the conviction using the Word of God. They work in tandem. That's why. And so it's important for us to obey God. You know, we ought to obey God rather than men. You get down to the end, the verse I just quoted. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. And as we obey him in his word, God's Holy Spirit works in our lives and enables us to do his will and to serve him effectively. Scripture memory enables you to see things in God's word that would take years of study to understand, and you might miss altogether. Acts 20, 28, it dawned on me that it says there the deity of Christ. It proclaims the deity of Christ. He hath purchased with his own blood, speaking of Jesus, and he's named as God in the verse. I've been memorizing in the book of Acts, and in Acts chapter 15 and verse 11, I got to a verse that told me exactly the opposite of what I thought it was going to say. The verse says, "But we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, Jews, even as they, Gentiles." And if you know what's happening in the Jerusalem Council, it was like, okay, are these Gentiles required to do things that are Jewish, okay, follow Jewish ritual, and in order to be saved? And there was heresy was being debated. And I was expecting the conclusion to be, we've come to this conclusion that the Gentiles are saved the same way as we are, by grace. But didn't say that. It says, guys, listen, God saved the Gentiles, and you Jews better get with it by the grace of God. I learned about the deity of Christ in the fresh way in John chapter 5. I'm on I-80 in Pennsylvania, traveling back to Lock Haven from the hospital, and I was moved by this, lead me in the way everlasting, as I'm memorizing, search me, O God, and know my heart. And I'm thinking, wait, the way everlasting, it's the Christian life is not just, believe and go to heaven, but it's a whole way. It's a whole way of life. And I got into that, and my wife will remember I scrapped everything and preached on that on Sunday. I'm on I-94 on a beautiful day toward Lansing, Michigan. And I still remember, it says in Isaiah 55, 12, "For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth in peace." And then the verse ends with, "All the trees of the field shall clap their hands." And I remember just rejoicing and crying over that. You see, some of you can remember where you were when certain things were said and done, when certain songs were being sung. Music has that power. The scripture has that power. I can remember where I was when I memorized certain verses. I can remember being in Japan, and I have trodden the wine press alone. And of the people, there are none with me. And I'm memorizing from Isaiah 63. And it dawned on me that Jesus is coming back, you know, with those on white horses following him, Revelation 19, 14. And it says, "He shall come with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all." And the book of Jude, verses 14 and 15. And I said, wow, we're going to come back. We're going to fight with Jesus. No, the verse says, He's trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there were none with me. I will tread them in my anger, I will trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment, for the vengeance is in my heart, and the way is known. So I got to that, and I said, you know what? We're going to be kind of unnecessary backup when we come back with Jesus, because he's going to speak in the word of his mouth, one word, the enemy will be defeated. Scripture memory will strengthen your mind, and so you want to know, how do you do it? Okay, here's an example of what you can do. Precept shall be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. You can do it a little bit at a time. Repetition is what you need. And how do you do that? Well, get yourself some Bible verses. There's a number of ways that you can do that. You can buy something like this. That's what it looks like after I put them in little packs and everything and carried them around. Or you can write them out, and you notice the cards at the bottom. They're half of a 3x5 card. And, you know, those are mailing labels, okay? And I imported the scripture onto mailing labels and took the mailing labels and slapped them on cards, okay? Man, I mean, I know that sounds primitive, but the idea is to something that'll work, okay, for you. Up in the other corner, you almost can't see it, but you can see dates and so forth and cards that are being used there. So what portions of Scripture? Recommended lists, whole books, topics, key verses and paragraphs. You can see the bottom there. When I was reading my Bible, what I was doing is I was going through the Bible and I was writing down key verses from every chapter of the Bible. And you go back, like I'm doing in the book of Acts, like I've done in Revelation and other places, you go back then and you memorize, not the whole book, but you memorize the key verses of the chapters of the book. And it helps you to key in on what's going on in the book. So it's a kind of a compromise between a topical approach and a book approach, okay? It allows you to keep context in your thinking. Up in the left-hand corner, I've imported verses in my iPhone. Yes, I use that, and I have different topics on there. I'm on the airplane. I can call them up, and I can recite them, and I can look through them. And so that can be helpful as well. Memorizing Scripture helps you to treasure it. I don't know how to tell you this, but, you know, over the years, it's a lot of trouble to carry cards around. My wife knows. Anybody mess with my verse cards, it was a problem, okay? My kids knew that. You know, on a trip, holding on, driving, you know? Oh, yeah, that's right. But not having to take my eyes off the road, but a glance. Verses I was always familiar with. Taking the cards when you're going to the park, more convenient not to be carrying those. You have pockets for all that stuff. I can remember standing in a job while I was in seminary. I was a security guard, and I had cards in this hand, or maybe it was this hand because my gun was on this side. And I remember standing there different times, and I'm memorizing. And, you know, it really bothered people that there was a guy standing there with a gun mumbling. And there was a little uneasiness, and they came and said, "What are you doing?" And when I showed them what I was doing, "Oh, okay." And it would get around the store, and I was okay at that point. They knew I probably was not a terrorist or anything like that. So how do we do it? Now, if you go back to the cards that we had, I'm carrying you over a little bit. Notice up in the corner here, all right? That's side of it. I can't see it as well on mine. Notice the hash marks. So you take a verse, and you get it in your mind, "For God so loved the world," till you can say the thing through the whole time. You know, one time through, you got it, and now you say it 25 times the first day. Mark it down. And then the second day, you say that verse 20 times, and then the third 15, and the third, by the way, you're adding a verse every day. So you're saying one verse 25 times, and the next verse you're saying 20 times, and you go through that, and you have once a day verse for 45 days. That means you got five verses that you're working on that are 25, 20, 15, 10, and 5, and you got 45 verses that you're only saying once, and that's the pack of verses that you're carrying. Now, you don't have to do that on a daily basis. If you did that on a daily basis, it would take you 30 minutes every day to do it right. If you do it, you know, like a couple times a week or several times a week, then that's different. You know, it's really interesting to me. If you did 3 new verses every week, all right, probably you could do that in 15 minutes a day. In 20 years, you would have 3,120 verses committed to memory. There are very few people in this auditorium that have that many verses. But now, wait a minute, most of you are, like, you're 20 years old, you know, that's impossible, maybe you'd have that many verses, but I wonder, you know, how many verses since you were 16? Maybe you're 18 right now, do you have 320 verses? Maybe you're 20, do you have 600 and some verses? Oh, maybe you're 22. Do you have close to 1,000 verses committed to memory? You see where we're going with this? Here a little, there a little. Precept must be upon precept, line upon line. Here a little, there a little. A little bit becomes a lot over a period of time. Well, that's how you do it. And if I can help anybody to do it, I think you got the picture today that I feel like this is really, really important. I would say that if there's anything in my Christian life that I would say is number one importance and what has allowed me to be, quote, you know, successful and productive in ministry, it has been scripture memory. Scripture memory is not easy. It's hard work. And there were lapses. There were times when I just couldn't handle it. I had to lay off, and there were times when I became cold and indifferent to memorizing, but I knew there was something wrong, and it needed to be fixed. And it was the scripture memory, I think, and meditation, as with Jonah, that helped it get fixed. God kept reminding me and helping me and directing me. He could do the same thing for you too. Let's pray. Father, I pray, use the message today in the lives of these students. Oh God, call somebody today to invest their heart and life in pleasing you, making the word a very part of their being. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.